First of all, thank you very much for the so kind invitation by the Foundation of Science and Technology to be here today and to give you an overview about the current situation of preparation for COP27. In fact, I'm not going to speak too much about our vision for COP process because it's international vision. So I will be a little bit focusing on the opinion of Egypt as a part of international science community. So, but the opinion of international science community for COP process and COP27, COP28, and so on, it's due to all of us as international science community. In fact, and on behalf of the Egyptian science technology innovation community, I must thank Sir Patrick for his effort and for UK for their effort actually to put science in the heart and in the center of COP26. And this is the first time for me, to be honest, to listen about the role of science in COP process. So they did an extraordinary effort to shed the light on the importance of science on COP process and in climate change crisis as well. And of course, this is actually make our job very, very difficult. There's a big difference actually between COP26 and COP27 from different opinion. First of all, COP27 is an African edition of COP. So somebody has to expect that the opinion and the expectation of the African leader, African people, and the community from COP is quite different. In COP26, we paved the way for science, and we succeeded actually to make the voice of science very loudly in COP26. But now the people in my continent actually are looking for the implementation. They would like to see something tangible on the floor. When I was assigned to take care of the coordination, I'm not the chief scientific advisor of COP27. This is not the case. This is not the system in our country, but I'm coordinating the activity of Science Day in COP27 in my capacity as the president of the Egyptian Academy of Science. And by the way, the Egyptian Academy of Scientific Research and Technology is a governmental organization. So I am assigned president, not elected one. So sorry. This is something completely. Okay. Come back to COP and the COP process. There are, as I mentioned, there are so many differences between COP26 and COP27. Also, the objectives are the same. All of us are working to confront the impact of climate change on our globe, either using mitigation and adaptation. And by the way, they are two important pillars. We cannot actually focus on one issues and neglect the other. The second difference between the two editions of COP is a very limited time available or was available for COP27 because Egypt as a government was notified by COP27 in a very late time. It's almost the same time when the United Arab Emirates has been notified to host COP28. So the time slots for the preparation for COP27 is quite short. But we are very lucky because actually we received a lot of support from Royal Scientific Society and a few UK university networks. Actually, they helped us too much. And we, of course, built on the successful track record of COP26. I will review with you very shortly some of the slides, actually, which reflect the current situation and the preparation for COP27. Our African people's leaders believe too much in implementation. They would like to see, as I mentioned, something on the floor. And our opinion very shortly to COP27 is to pave the way for the implementation, is to shed the light on the role of science on overcoming the barrier of implementations. The people believe that there are so many applicable and visible solutions to many of the climate change crises. The innovations, the research, the know-how are there. And I will speak about some sectors, for instance, like agriculture sectors, for instance. It's very easy, actually, using the available technology, know-how, innovation, actually, to reduce carbon dioxide emission from agriculture sectors using very simple technology, such as transformation of agriculture machines from diesel power machine to BV powered one, for instance, to minimize the use of agrochemicals and replacing it with some organic. And there are so many solutions, but the problem is actually, of course, related to fund needed for scaling up and for mass application of the available and existing technology. This is one issue. We cannot actually neglect financial issues, but in addition to the financial issues, there are so many other challenges, including, for instance, the mindset transformation of the people, local communities, small farmers in Africa, in developing and less developing countries, why they must change from the practice, which is well-rooted tradition and so on, to new emerging technology from their point of view. So it's not an easy task, as I mentioned. I will review with you some slides. So of course, this is from the website of COP27. It's an addition with African task. So we believe too much in Africa that where there is a will, there is a way. Okay, I'm not going to speak about climate change, of course, but Egypt has a plan for sustainable development. And I believe one of the most, let us say, positive impact of Egypt STI community is trying to link between the national development plan and the climate research plan. And this is actually can be easily reflected from the slides. So we put the sustainable development goals and Egypt strategic objectives for sustainable development 2030, and they try to do something for climate change research in Egypt. Egypt also has a strategy for national climate change. One of the specific objectives of Egypt's strategy for climate change is to enhance scientific research, technology transfer, knowledge, and public awareness for competing climate change. The most important issue for a long time, we are speaking about the gap between academia and industry. And usually in at least developing country, we believe too much that bridging the gap will actually have a positive impact on technology transfer, commercialization, and return of investment from scientific research. But when it comes to climate change issues, I believe that bridging the gap between academia and policymaker is the most important issue, because most of the policy paper in developing countries do not believe actually in a serious action toward climate change or nature conservation issues. And somebody has to actually expect, because there are some sort of justification for that opinion, I believe. Fortunately, in Egypt, our president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, believes too much in climate change issues and is committed actually toward the climate change activities. And this can be easily recognized from Egypt hosting of biodiversity conference for relatively very long period and submission of a proposal to host COP27, in addition to some mega project implemented nowadays by the government of Egypt to voluntary lower carbon dioxide emission. I'm speaking about, for instance, a mega project in the field of renewable energy, establishing one of the largest BV electricity power in the world, based in south of Egypt in Pimpin. It produces its capacity up to 1,700 megawatt. It's one of four largest stations worldwide. mega project and the transformation of Egyptian transportation system from fossil powered system to electric public transportation system, investment and innovation and building a new resilient and smart cities, reclamation of desert land, huge project in water treatment, recycling, and efficient use of water. This is so many political commitments, and this is actually an advantage for the science, technology, and innovation community in Egypt. So also one of the advantages, or let us say the strength of climate change research in Arab states, is actually the research outcomes in the field of climate change research. And according to this report prepared by the academy, actually Egypt and Saudi Arabia produces the highest number of international publications related to climate change research. It means that the local and regional science technology innovation community in Egypt and in Arab states in Africa are quite aware with the problem and directed a relatively large portion of their fund and research towards climate change research. And this is actually paves the way for a good role for science, technology, and innovation in competing with climate change. Actually, our plan, action plan for climate change, or is to redirect a part of public fund toward green fund, especially to post and to create enabling environment for green research in Egypt, is to work too much on the education and the mindset transformation awareness, because this is a big challenges in Egypt and other developing countries, innovation for climate and so on. As a result of this collaboration, I must thank very much the Royal Scientific Society and UK Universities Network. We prepared together some policy paper related to addressing climate change impact on health and achieving food security under climate change. This is part of awareness and raising the awareness, so many activities and so on in Egypt and Africa and Arab states related to climate change. Here, I started with my colleague at the Academy of Scientific Research and Technology because the Egyptian presidents for COP27 believe too much in implementation. So the challenge is how to showcase of some applied project which could help and support country efforts in achieving sustainable development under climate changes. This is the issue. So we are directing our effort towards implementation. So I will show you some of the applied project just to convince the people, the policymakers, the community, NGOs, and private sector that it's worth to invest in climate change confrontation. And at the same time, also you can achieve some sort of sustainable development. It's not an easy task at all to share knowledge and experience. So we showed to our government that it's important to invest in a national breeding program to develop crop variety more tolerant to adverse environmental condition through mobilization of resources, working with GenBank, with breeders, international breeder, and so on. And we succeeded to develop, in collaboration with International Rice Research Institute in Philippines, a new rice variety with low water demand, for instance. This is something actually was received with too much respect from the policymakers in Egypt. So, and this is encouraging them to invest more in climate change research. Similarly, sample technologies can be used to produce, for instance, some new plant varieties more tolerant to adverse environmental conditions. Investment in the field of renewable energy, it wasn't an easy task at all. We started long time ago in 2015, 2016, and 17 to pave the way for the investment of the field of renewable energy through technology transfer, localization, and international cooperation. And as a result of this cooperation, we succeeded through a generous research grant from EU to establish the biggest central core facilities for research and development in the field of renewable energy in Egypt. to serve not only Egypt, to serve Africa, because again, there are so many challenges also affecting the visibility of renewable energy project in Middle East and in Africa as well, as a result of very high temperature, dusty weathers, and so on. So the efficiency of most of the plant and the station decreases very rapidly. So you have to have for a new type of innovation tailored mainly for the different geographical zones of the world. So although global, although climate changes and global issues and the concern and the crisis, but actually competing the climate change actually also need a global effort, but there is no one size fit all. Sorry, my English is not so good to find the proper expression. What I mean, there is no one solution can fit with different geographical zones of the world, because it depends on actually the technology readiness level, the level of the country or technology readiness level of the country. It depends on the finance, it depends on the education, it depends on the culture, it depends on the religion, it depends on everything. So it's a very complicated system. So we are trying to use the available and accessible international technology and innovation to tailored a local solution for a global challenges. In the field of renewable energy, again, we started actually to find a new innovative way to convince people that investment in biodiversity and the nature conservation could be a wealthy and could generate revenue as well. So we started to focus on plant genetic resources in Egypt and to highlight about some economic importance of wild plant in landscaping industry, for instance, as an alternative fooder and so on. Similarly, we used the indigenous knowledge actually in collaboration with National Biodiversity Record to show the people that some indigenous knowledge can be used and transferred to a business for the sustainability of community. One of the most important issues we usually trying to link between the climate change research, science, and the tradition and the cultural heritage and so on to receive some sort of public acceptance and marketing as well. And this is the Egyptian Genome Project. And by the way, I'm very happy that the Egyptian Genome Project, it looks quite far from climate change, but it is in the core of the climate change. And I can explain later on in the discussion. But we tried to convince the policymaker to support a basic research project with billions of Egyptian pounds in the field of genomic research to link it to the ancient Egyptian genome, because the people and the tourists believe too much in ancient Egyptians and so on. So we try to actually make some sort of link between recent Egyptian and ancient Egyptian genome. And by the way, I'm very happy that the work actually of 70 people who won Nobel Prizes this year in his genetic studies on Neanderthals. It's quite similar to the research we are carrying on at the Academy of Scientific Research and Technology. And 7 years ago, we published for the first time the successful recovery of DNA and genome sequence of ancient Egyptian genome. And this work was published, and it was related to the DNA fingerprint of Tutankhamun. It's something, but unfortunately, at that time, the people and the international media covered this good achievement in the field of science from the touristic point of view, because they ignored very well the technology used to develop this DNA fingerprint and to extract and purify DNA at the expense of this very famous young king who died at 17 years old and so on. Yeah, it's something. So our plan for COP27, as I mentioned to my colleagues in the Royal Scientific Society just a half hour before this meeting, we now have three big events in the Blue Zone and COP27. One is Redirect. Redirect, as you see, is acronyms initials of the role of research development and innovation in addressing climate change, technology transfer, and knowledge sharing. Redirect simply means that redirection of some of the public fund resources toward climate change research. Redirect means networking and use the existing bridges of cooperation among international scientists to tackle climate change. This is one of the subjects. The second event is related to WIPO Green Technology Report, or POC, and this event actually was drafted by WIPO and the Academy of Scientific Research and Technology. And the main objectives here is to have WIPO on board, because it's actually the catalyst of the emerging technology and the leader of new technologies in the world. And actually they provided us with a lot of information about green IPR, isn't in public domain or still in protection phase, and how the green patent and the green innovation can help country efforts in confrontation of climate change. The third event, which is really very important, and this is actually reflect the Egyptian opinion and vision for COP27, redesigning the strategy in a changing world. We believe too much that there are available solution, technological solution, innovative solution, and so on. But we believe also that not only innovative and technological solution can really achieve some sort of sustainable development under climate changes without collaboration, because the available slots for us in the blue zone in Science Day is very limited. So we, on behalf of international science community, booked a zone area in the green zones to be a window for international science stakeholders and people interested actually to share and to contribute and to participate in COP27 to make their activities through this area. And I will stop here. Thank you very much.